Jonah chapter 1. Jonah flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. One of the challenges in the summer of when you're preparing to speak is the fact that they're all-age services, so you're trying to do something that won't totally bore somebody under 50. And you're also then trying to, make it so that actually, there's something for everybody. So that's why you'll see in a moment... we're going to play a little game, sort of. So the game is this. It's a word association game. So you know how to play word association? So I say a word such as bacon, and you say?
Bacon.
Thank you. Some of you thank you. Some of you, I'm sure, said something else. But there you go. Never mind. So here we go. Oh, by the way, it's about Jonah. Knife. Well done. Tom.
Jerry.
Well, you're good at this. It's Tom and Jerry. Fish.
Fish.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? I made them very simple. Why did I do that, I asked myself. Right, this might be slightly harder. Who's that, do you think? So it's Booty, thank you. And it will be Booty and the Beast. Yeah, thank you, Isaac. Bangers. Yeah. And Jonah. Sorry? Right, okay, interesting. So we had whale and we had big fish. So the question is, which one was it? So we're going to play another little quiz. I hope I got my bit of paper right. Right. So this quiz is identify the big fish and say whether you think they could swallow a man. So, what's that one? No? Okay. I think I've got it right. I mean, if there's fishermen among you and I'm wrong, it's the internet's fault. That is a paddlefish. Okay? Do you think that could swallow a man? No, because there's a man holding it, isn't there? What's this one? Yep, a giant blue catfish. Do you think that could swallow a man? No, okay. This one is a... No. You might not get this, it's a bit obscure. It's a sturgeon. Swallow a man? No. Okay. A big goldfish? No? Any ideas? No, not quite. It's a koi fish. K-O-I fish. And again, there's a man holding it, so doubt that that could swallow a man. Oh, this is a model, I think. So what is this? No, it's actually a catfish, apparently. And I guess if it was a living one, that might swallow a man. This is lovely, isn't it? Right. What do you think that is? Might be its other name. I don't know. It's a mola mola fish, apparently. So do you think that could swallow a man? Well, by the size of a swimmer, quite possibly. What do you think that is? I'm sorry, that's a bit of a sad picture, really. No. It's actually a dolphin, apparently. Very big one. Well, no, I thought no, but it's Google, Alison. You can't argue with Google. That's what it said. A shark, yes. Do you think that could swallow a man? Yes. And then that's a... Now, that's actually a whale, and we have two more pictures of whales. And do you think they could swallow people? By the size of that person, yes. That's sweet, isn't it? Very nice. So, you know, often our stories as children that we hear in, you know, Sunday groups or whatever, about Jonah and the whale, isn't it? And the problem, a little bit, is that that leads us sometimes, the way sometimes a story is told to us and we read it, leads us sometimes not to take the whole thing seriously. We think it's, you know, some sort of just some story that's a fairy tale in a sense. And there's controversy perhaps over whether it's a history, whether it's allegory, or whether it's just fiction. But when we look in the Gospels and we hear what Jesus said about it, that should lead us to, I think, the conclusion of to whether it's a true story or not. Jesus said this, when some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you," he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a large fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The men of Nineveh will stand up at their judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. We're continuing our series in looking at Old Testament characters and seeing how they point to Jesus and seeing Jesus in effect in the Old Testament. And Jonah is another of those characters who is often referred to as a type of Christ. Someone who reflects and shows what Jesus is like and what Jesus will do. A character who reflects something of who Jesus is. Jesus himself made it clear, didn't he, that Jonah was such a person when he said what we've just read from Matthew. Now you might think, well Jonah wasn't much like Jesus, was he? Jonah seemed to do the opposite to what Jesus and God wanted him to do. But it's what happens to Jonah that means Jesus refers to him. In fact, I think in a way we're more like Jonah, aren't we? We can be more like Jonah. You know, Jonah's attitude at the beginning and the end of his story, and you need to obviously read the whole of Book of Jonah. It would only take you 10 minutes this afternoon if you wanted to do that, after you've watched your recording of the Women's World Cup. Thank you for being here, by the way. I was a bit concerned that there might only be one man and his dog, but you've turned up, so that's good. It doesn't take long to read the Book of Jonah and see the story there. But we can be a bit like him. You know, at the beginning of the book, Jonah's moaning, in effect, you know, God, why on earth do you want to save those Ninevites, is what he said. And he took action about that by going in the opposite direction to the way that God had told him to go. His attitude at the end of the book isn't any better, really. He complains that God's done what he said, and after the Ninevites have repented, he has, you know, saved them. He hasn't destroyed the city because of their repentance. And Jonah's quite cross about that, quite upset about that. He complains when things don't go the way that he wants them to go. And don't we often do the same? You know, we complain when things don't go the way we want or think that they should. You know, we can get caught in the question of the whale or the big fish. But you know what I think that is? Come on. Oh, dear me. This is hard work. Thank you. A red herring. Okay. So whether it's a big fish or a whale, you know, that can really be a bit of a red herring. We can waste a lot of time arguing the toss on that one. But there are some themes that run through this account of Jonah. One of the biggest themes is of God's compassion and his grace. His compassion to the Gentile Ninevites and his grace to them. His compassion to the sailors who, in the middle of a storm, didn't know what to do, but discovered, obviously, that it was Jonah's fault that there was this storm because he was running away from God. And they turned to his God and prayed to Jonah's God. And God was gracious to them. And after Jonah had been thrown overboard, the storm finished. And God was compassionate to Jonah. He could have said, chuck him overboard, Jonah drown, and I'll just send somebody else to Nineveh to tell them that they need to repent. But he didn't. He gave Jonah a second chance to do that. And how often does God give us second, third, fourth, however many chances to serve him and to actually do what he's asking us to do? And God's plans and his purposes can't be thwarted. That's another theme that runs through it. Jonah tried his best to thwart God's plans, but they couldn't be thwarted. And often as well, another theme is there's salvation in the places that you least expect. And maybe in the people you least expect. So you might know people, there might be people in your family or friends, and you think to yourself, I've been praying for them for years and years. They're not going to change now. There's no way that they will come to know Jesus. Don't give up praying. Don't give up hoping and expecting. Salvation comes in the most unexpected places. There's a theme of disobedience and its consequences. So the consequence for Jonah was probably not a very nice holiday in that big fish or whale. And there's also the theme of obedience and its consequences. Because when Jonah did obey God, then the Ninevites were saved. There's a theme of repentance. The repentance of the sailors that we just heard about. The repentance of the Ninevites. And then we have Jonah's prayer, which is a wonderful part of the book, when Jonah prays when he's in the belly of the big fish. So, I might have told you before, you've probably heard the story of when I was a young boy, about probably 9 or 10, and my aunt and uncle took myself and my brother and sister to Thorpness Mere, okay, which I've got a nice picture of. Thorpness Mere, idyllic, isn't it? Looks beautiful. It's idyllic until you fall in. Okay. So I thought I could be a big boy and have a rowing boat to myself. My sister had a rowing boat. My brother had a canoe. And out we went. My auntie and uncle just stayed on the side. Off they sent us, so I got probably not far from that shore bit there, actually, in my rowing boat. I was really struggling, because they're quite big boats, and I was quite a weedy little boy, and I was trying to, you know. And my sister could see I was really struggling, so my sister decided to be really kind, and she said, why don't I come over? So she was quite close, and she said, and you get into my boat, and we can do it together. Didn't work well. Little problem, we decided to do it mid-mere, so to speak. And as I put one foot on her boat, my boat drifted that way and hers started drifting that way. She grabbed me and the inevitable happened. I fell into Thorpness Mere. Oh dear. And as I went under the water, I could just see all this seaweed and everything, or pondweed, whatever it is. And as came up once, and then I went down again, came up once, and then I realised I could stand, because Thorpness Mere is not very deep. Trouble was, I didn't tell my sister I was actually standing, and she was hanging on to me, almost crying, because she thought I was going to drown. My brother came along in his canoe and just circled around us laughing. He was very helpful. I haven't let him forget that. It's sort of, you know, it's 20 years ago now, but I haven't let him forget that he circled around. But why I'm telling you that story is because whenever I read this prayer of Jonah, it reminds me of that. That will have been no help to your spiritual life, by the way, today, so just forget that. But Jonah said this, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hauled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. That's the bit that reminds me of Thorpness Mere. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. A great prayer of repentance, of acknowledging who God is, and this all within the belly of the great fish. He hadn't been saved in effect at that point. He may well have thought, you know, this is going to be it. This is where I spend my last few moments. But he still acknowledged God's graciousness and compassion and power. So repentance is an important theme in the book of Jonah, both as individuals and corporately together. But there's perhaps a more important theme is the theme of death and of burial and of resurrection, which points to Jesus. His triumph over death, sin and the grave. And that's why it's so important that it says in one of the letters, that we preach Christ and him crucified. That we talk Christ and him crucified to the people that we witness to. Whether that's in a conversation over a meal with your family, or when some people are very good at just starting up conversations with people, aren't they? I can't say I'm good at that, but we need to keep Christ at the forefront. Jesus Christ and him crucified. The people had asked Jesus, or the Pharisees had asked Jesus for a sign, we read in Matthew. And that's what people need, in effect. They do need a sign or some way of knowing that God loves them and cares for them and can save them. You know, all the miracles that we read about in the Gospels and the miracles that happen today around the world, they can demonstrate God's power. And there are lots of other signs that demonstrate his power. But the greatest sign is the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Now I've got another visual aid here which you can see here. This was used at Holiday Club for, what do you think it was? If you weren't here last week you might not know. What do you think this is? The lion's den, Daniel and the lion's den. So I'm going to take the lions out of this den. Okay. And so sorry lions, you stay there, behave. What this now becomes, what do you think this has become in my mind now? Yes, the whale, the belly of the great fish which Jonah is in. And then, I'm a bit afraid of doing this, Liz. Can I just turn it round? Will it fall to pieces? Can I break it? It's very cleverly done. So now, what do you think it's become? The tomb, yeah, it's a tomb where Christ was laid. Hello, Isaac, that's a wave. And so Jesus, like Jonah, was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. So Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. And then gloriously the stone was rolled away and the tomb is empty. Jesus was alive and is alive. So the sign of Jonah is, it's all we need really. Because it's the sign of Jesus. Dying, taking the sin of the world upon himself. And then gloriously defeating death and rising forever. And Jesus, he said, somebody greater is here. Something greater is here, greater than Jonah. And Jesus is greater than Jonah in many ways. You know, in his person, for a start, Jonah was a man. Jesus was fully human and yet also fully divine. That's so hard to get our heads around. And yet it's it's truth. Jesus was fully man, yet fully divine. Jesus was obedient, it says, obedient even to death on a cross. Jonah, we read, was disobedient. Jesus' actual death, so Jonah was saved, wasn't he, when the whale vomited him onto dry land. Jesus died, and then Jesus rose from death under his own power. Jonah ministered to one city, in effect, the Ninevites, whilst Jesus came for the whole world and ministers to the whole world. Jonah's message to the Ninevites was a message that God had given him about the wrath of God. Jesus' message is about the judgment of God, but it's also about the grace and mercy of God and about his salvation. So I just got one more little visual aid which I must show you. So I went and visited a friend in Peterborough on Thursday, and he said, "Oh, we've got a Christian bookshop in Peterborough." And I thought, "Wow, that's wonderful," because ours is shut, isn't it? So it's a long time since I've been in a Christian bookshop, and if you know me, you know it's taking me to a bookshop of any kind is dangerous. To a Christian bookshop is even more dangerous. Evie is shaking her head. But now you see, I can get away with buying children's books because I just say they're for the grandchildren. So I found this book, Who Am I, featuring Old Testament Bible characters. And one of the questions in this book, in the Who Am I, if I can find it. Oh, it's not that. Oh. In the belly of a whale, I stayed for 3 days. I folded my hands and began to pray, Who am I? Anyone? Okay. Jonah. There you go. Isaac's taking no notice of this at this point at all, but he'll still get the book because, you know, I'm very soft like that. There you go. Thank you.